Hey, Nick.
Hey, John.
Are you a little shy? You blushing?
No. My face is just Pantone color 182C.
2012 color of the year.
This is stranger still.
Hi, Nicholas.
How are you?
Pretty good.
I don't know if the listening audience can hear it out there, but guess who's sick again?
Oh, not me.
It's me.
Yeah.
It's always me. I always get sick.
Because you eat meat, and meat makes you not sick. I don't know. Is that a rant? Is that how you do it? I'm not good at it. I'm very...
Wake up, sheeple.
Okay. Don't eat sheeple. Don't even talk about sheep. That's not...
Do you think that down the line we'll have genetically engineered sheeple?
I think they already exist, bro.
They're already in our government.
Yeah. What do you think the lizard people eat?
Right. Speaking of lizards, that's a pretty good color.
Yeah, green. They're green. Yep.
Before we get into colors, though, I am Nick Wood.
I'm John Began.
This is Stranger Still.
And it's a podcast where we answer questions
that you never questioned to ask.
Today.
This question you brought to me. What's the question we're answering today?
Who, what, where, when, and why chooses the color of the year?
I think we're going to answer most of those today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and how?
And how. How's the big one that we're going to get to.
Okay.
So, you came across this article.
No, that was like a 1930s thing. And how? Yep. I can care less about the how. I just want, and how?
Yeah. You came across this article, and did you read it at all?
I found this originally from the Young Turks.
Oh, did you? Okay.
From Old School Podcast,
yeah.
Where Cenk Uygur is the host of a program called the Young Turks. It's a news network on YouTube and many other places. And you can listen to their like after-hours show, which is the old school. And Cenk's mama went to this convention with Pantone.
Yeah.
And got to find all about the color of the year and how it's picked.
So you came across that article, and it was about how Pantone, which is a printing company, they used to be. I'll get into it in a second. But they get together. They have this big convention, like you said, where they choose every year the color of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And right now I'm going to say that in like the gaming world, we always talk about the GOTY, which is Game of the Year.
Yeah.
We just call it GOTY. Someone call us Cody. Just for abbreviation. Because if I say color of the year for every time I'm going to say it during this podcast, we're going to add like 3 minutes onto this podcast.
That's like really chill though. Yo, Cody. Cody's Cody. Always in style.
Cody's always in style. That's true. Which we'll also get into. So Pantone is this weird... actually, before we get into it, I also want to say I had no idea that color of the year was a thing until you brought this to me.
You know where I first thought about it?
Where?
Was because we both work retail.
Yeah.
Sometimes they put up boards with like upcoming trends.
Yeah.
And they had the upcoming color of the year for 2015, which I think was Margot.
Nope.
What was it?
Marsala.
Oh, yeah. Chicken Marsala. See, I don't eat that right. Chicken stuff, so I couldn't remember.
It's actually more of a wine color, though.
Okay.
This is what I learned during my research.
And if you want to learn about colors and me, you can listen to Why Does John Wear Christmas Colors All Year
That's
Round?
That's true.
Because I'm colorblind.
Yeah, that's a good episode, in my humble opinion. So I didn't know about this. I asked my wife if she knew, and she did, because she picked out the colors for our house. So when she was looking for swatches, the big thing that they were advertising was the color of the year, which at the time was probably Marsala. Or if it was the year before that, I don't remember what it was. Might have been Tango Tangerine?
Yeah.
I don't know.
2015 felt like tangerine to me.
No, 15 was Marsala.
Huh.
The year before that... I can't remember.
Got ya.
Anyway, so Pantone, they come up with this. Pantone is the powerhouse behind Color of the Year. They started out as a printing company. They had like this great chemist that had a really good way of synthesizing different pigments. And eventually, they had three things. They had this crazy huge breadth of colors. I think they're up to like 13,000 or 11,000 colors. They had a really neat way to match colors, and they had a really easy way for people to match those colors for themselves. So they had this system, which is weirdly named PMS, the nice. Pantone Matching System. So every time I read an article that said, and using PMS, I'd be like,
come on.
Do you know what you're doing here? Because it's really funny.
I bet you someone did.
Someone did. But they would say, these are the pigments that go into this color. Use this code, and it'll combine these pigments together on a printing press.
See, I'm surprised it's not millions instead of thousands.
You can only have so many.
I guess so.
The other limitation to that is all of the colors have to be able to be replicated on a printing press. Mm-hmm. So they use CMYK for some of them, which is cyan, yellow.
Magenta.
Is it magenta? Cyan, magenta, yellow, and black. Black mm-hmm. is K. So some of them would use that system. But then they also have some other colors that can only be replicated with a system of 14 different pigments that they supply, I guess. And actually, if you go to Pantone's website, they got the only thing that you can shop for is like color matching software and pigments and swatches. That's like what they sell now.
Yeah.
They used to be a printing company. Now they sell swatches.
Nice. Let's sell you some colors.
Yeah. So, like I said, a lot of people go to them now for colors. Like Adobe has Pantone plugins for Photoshop. Many businesses will, even countries like Canada and I think like Turkey or something, parts of their flag, they have chosen Pantone colors for, so that everyone that's printing like a flag can just take that Pantone color code, put it on their printing press, and print that exact color.
That's awesome.
So it's never wrong. It's really smart.
Yeah.
And that's why they've become so big, and they're this big powerhouse that now gets to decide the color of the year.
They decided that they would sell colors.
Yes.
Which is something that they found.
Yeah.
And they said, oh yeah, let's market this somehow. That was just very smart. Sounds like they're really good at marketing, if anything.
Yeah, and I read this article with this woman that I'll talk about later, that her background was in psychology, and like all of the people that work at Pantone just are all about colors. Like their whole job is just colors, which is so weird to me because I never thought, like, when I grow up, I want to do colors.
a lot of kids did.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, it's probably because you couldn't spell crayon.
I couldn't spell crayon.
Yeah.
I couldn't spell crayon either.
You can spell Crayola.
I can spell Crayola.
But we're not going to talk about them. That's the competitors. And then they're never going to share this on their Facebook page on Pantone if we
exactly.
talk about them.
So the question that I had, what is the purpose of the color of the year? Because they go through this whole rigmarole. Mm-hmm. What's the point?
Yeah. Is that rhetorical?
I don't know. What's your thoughts?
Well, I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
I think that they're like, what do we sell again? Colors?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's everywhere.
Yeah.
Let's sell colors to people somehow.
Yeah, we gotta find a way to make other colors more special.
And they're like, this one's really cool.
Yeah.
You should buy everything in this color.
Yes.
And everyone's like, okay,
yeah,
I guess so. And like, yeah, come to our super secret meeting that you can't get in. Yeah. And we're gonna tell you the secret color.
Uh-huh.
And then you're gonna buy all our stuff. But then there's the psychology behind all this that they probably created too at some point. Like red makes you hungry in restaurants.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And yellow
Absolutely.
Makes you want to commit suicide. There's studies behind that too, isn't there?
There's tons of studies like that. And one article I came across that wasn't even necessarily related to the color of the year talked about how many companies will choose their branding color based on the psychology behind it. So
yeah.
The examples they had that come to top of my mind is Home Depot chose orange because orange is associated with construction. Target
cones.
Well, yeah, like construction cones and that thing. Target chose red because of like the ease of their shopping experience or something like that. I don't remember the exact words they use. There's one other example. Oh, UPS brown because that's like that's the color of the cardboard, but it's also the color of like reliability or something.
Yeah, it sounds like if you look up brown in the dictionary before brown existed, that's what they'd write.
Right.
What? Reliability?
Yeah. I don't remember the exact words, but it was something like that.
I get you.
That they choose their branding off of the psychology.
I get it, because trees are brown and they're indestructible.
Right. They're sturdy.
Right.
Could God make a tree so sturdy that he couldn't push it down?
I think God invented lumberjacks.
go listen to our episode about lumberjacks.
Yep, coming 2020.
I was talking about the nicknames episode.
Oh, yeah, there was that one.
So, according to Pantone, there's their official way to look at it, and I'm quoting here, is the complexity of the logic behind color of the year is greater than interior design or fashion. It's a forecast, a reflection of what's happening in the world.
Wow.
My stance on it is exactly yours, though. They wanted to take a color, and they're like, well, we could sell more if we make this one special.
Yeah.
We'll get to more of that at the very end, because there's some weird, there's some hinky stuff that Pantone has done with the color of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Even though their official stance is, it's a reflection of the world. It's supposed to be from the people for the people.
Wow, that's deep, dude.
Right?
I think I'm going to cry.
I can see... Nope. You're lying.
Okay. Well.
The way that they decide the color of the year, though, is what I think is the most interesting stuff. This is like the meat and potatoes.
Can you please rephrase that? I'm offended.
It was the tofu and potatoes.
Okay.
In vegetable broth.
Oh, wonderful.
With a little bit of garlic seasoning.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, okay. I cooked something last night. Now I think I can cook the world.
Right. Yeah, well, garlic seasoning. That's all you need.
I know. Garlic seasoning makes everything better. So as the 2000s were coming up, there's this small committee that I guess Pantone put together. The article that I read didn't really specify where they came from, but the whole thing started with Pantone, so I assume it was. But it was a small committee. This committee sits down even still each year to decide the CODI.
Mm-hmm. In an undisclosed location. They
have to wear masks. And it has to be those anonymous masks.
Right.
The Guy Fox masks.
And you have to go up and be like, Marsala. And then you get in.
Yeah.
I mean, that was in 2015.
Anyway, as near as I can tell, the committee is still only 20 people, so it's still really small. And apparently it's people from all walks of life. It's, quote, fashionistas. There's people that have interests in like home goods and furniture. There's people that are interested in like traditional art, like photography or paintings. There's movie lovers, TV lovers. The whole point of it though is these people are going out and they are looking for what colors are popping up in these areas more often than other colors, like this year or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So if businesses are using this color more or movies are using this color more, they're keeping an eye out for that.
Mm-hmm.
They usually travel to big fashion cities. So the person that I was talking to before was Latrice Iceman. She's the executive director of the Pantone Color Institute. It's just weird to me that you can have an institute of color.
Yeah, they probably also... She's the name creator at the Pantone Color Institute, so she got to give herself that sweet title.
Yeah. But she called out specifically that they'll travel to like New York or London or Milan, but also left the impression that sometimes they'll like go to Paris or something, because fashion apparently is a big part of it, because that's what people are wearing.
Yeah.
And that's what people are going to buy.
Right. Except for Stephen C.
Who's that?
That's the guy that they sent to the Atlantic Ocean. They're like, what are you seeing, Steven? He's like, it's all blue.
Everything's blue.
Everything's blue. And that's how we got the Pantone Color of the Year.
Yeah.
1998, rest in peace, Steven.
The Color of the Year started in the year 2000.
Keep moving.
Okay. Iceman also mentioned that she's pretty much always on the lookout. Like, she stopped at an airport in Dubai and like saw a bunch of other colors that she didn't see in the other cities and started to like take pictures of those so she would have them.
Mm-hmm.
So most people she says that some people will write the colors down, but they apparently have this big repository of photos that they keep and share with each other. But towards the end of the year, the committee, like you said, they meet up in an undisclosed location. They choose a European capital. Is what they said, quote, European capital.
So it sounds delicious.
It could be like London, or it could be Paris. It could be, it has to be a capital though.
Okay.
Just because they can. Each one of the representatives of the committee comes prepared with what they want the CODI to be. They've selected it for themselves, and they present it to everyone else. The convention itself, though, is 2 days long, and they just like sit around and they have PowerPoint presentations and I guess like pictures that they bring, and they're just like,
Yellow?
Yeah. It's the color of the year.
Pretty good.
Let's go simple this time.
And then the next guy comes up and he's like, yellow. Red? Yeah, red. And on slide two, we have red. That's good. Let's keep moving forward. Next slide, please. Red.
So they do this around December or something, and then in December they'll announce the Kodi, which should be coming out any day now, from my understanding.
Cool.
What do you think it's going to be?
Robin's egg white.
With a hint of blue, I assume?
Mm, the inside. Oh. You ever crack open a Robin's egg and look on the inside?
No, I'm not a savage.
Well, it's called art.
Okay. So, some fashion industries will use the color of the year as a jumping off point. Like you said, we work in retail. Marsala was around, and we had a lot of items that were Marsala.
Yeah.
Like handbags, shirts.
Lipsticks.
Lipsticks. Well, makeup's a big part of it.
Yep.
Because I think that's the easiest for... It's the most movable item.
Right.
It gets off the shelves faster because it's cheaper.
Yeah.
And it's more visible because people put it on.
Yeah, and men and women can make the decision to wear different makeup on a given day, and then the next day...
Mix it up.
Use something different, yeah.
One of the things that Pantone and this committee look for is what people are buying more of.
Mm-hmm.
So they're looking at what's flying off the shelves, what colors are people more interested in. So they use that as kind of an influence for the color of the year as well. So this obviously, this helps companies know what people are interested in. So if the color of the year is rose quartz, which is one of the colors this year, we'll get to that too, then they know that people are buying rose quartz. So if they make stuff in rose quartz, people are going to buy it.
But they created it so that people would buy it. So people are buying it.
It's
so
a vicious cycle. Yeah. We already talked about how color has a psychological appeal. It helps people feel a certain way. The other thing that I didn't mention was that I talked about how businesses will use their branding for colors, but businesses that use consistent colors in their marketing gain 80% more brand recognition, which is crazy. So not only that, but each year Pantone helps companies if they want to shift that by using the same color from company to company.
Right.
So it's just like, I don't even know what to compare it to. It's like...
I think it's like telephone numbers.
Yeah?
I think you've got a 7-digit telephone number,
uh-huh.
And you got to have the area code, which is 3. Yeah. And if you have those 3 numbers, that's an area code, uh-huh. That tells you where you live generally,
sure.
Right? So I think with different companies looking for different things, like red means power,
yeah.
And then you add like a symbol to it and you add on. So yeah. Like Best Buy is blue, and that's the area code, and then yellow.
Yeah, yeah, that's a really good analogy.
So you kind of go into like, you've got all the basics, like the primary colors, uh-huh. And then your secondary colors are the next line of the phone number.
Yeah. And if you want to use the color of the year, you can use it.
Yep. Like brown and gold is UPS.
Yeah.
Blue and yellow, and it keeps going on from there.
Sure. The thing that is hinky to me is they, like I said, this is from the people. Like they get it from what people are buying. They get it from where the interest lies. But then once they choose the color of the year, they go to a marketing firm and they're like, hey, get this color out there. And they won't say how much the advertising firm spends to get the color out there, which makes me believe it's not a small number.
Yeah.
So it's not, I mean, this goes in line with, like they have partnerships with, they had one, I don't remember what color it was for, but they had one with Sephora. I actually think it was Tangerine or Tango Tangerine or whatever.
Yeah.
Because I remember being like, why would anyone wear orange on their lips?
But it's probably a fall color, right?
Probably. But they partnered with Sephora to make makeup in the color of the year. And then they also have some shady copyright policies. So when I was researching this, people would say that they've never really come out and said like, hey, you can't use that number, but or you can't use that color because it's ours. But they will go after people if they like claim to use a Pantone color and they don't have a license for the color.
Yeah, no, that happened to me once when I was a kid.
Yeah?
So I was riding my skateboard and I fell and I scraped my knee.
Yeah.
And my knee turned Pantone 15C.
Yeah.
So it was like blood red. And this guy came out of this car and he's like, hey, kid, you got the right to bleed that color? That's ours. And my dad was like, hey, dude, chill.
He's bankrupt now.
Mm.
That lawsuit was
Yeah, poor, you know, my knee healed, but the wounds didn't.
Right. Those wounds will never heal.
Right.
So, I mean, there's just some hinky stuff in...
It scabbed over and it turned darker and it wasn't illegal anymore.
It wasn't a Pantone color, right, is what you're saying. Right. It wasn't one of the 1300 or whatever.
Yeah, I grew out of it, literally. Yeah.
What I'm trying to say, though, is if you're spending a lot of money on getting something out there, you're looking for something in return.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just like, look at this beautiful color we decided. Now everyone has to see it, so we're going to spend millions so everyone sees it.
Yeah. This is beautiful. I wish everyone could see this. How much money do we have, Steve?
Our budget's $7
million. Throw it all at it. I want this Marsala to light up the city.
Yeah. It's bad. It just doesn't make me feel that comfortable.
No, because I bet you it's teamed up not only with corporations, but with designers that are invited to the Pantone conventions.
Absolutely, yeah. The people that are on the committee, they aren't necessarily from Pantone. They're from different companies everywhere. They're from every walks of life, like I said.
Mm-hmm.
So these people have different pull in their industry.
I wonder what obscure industries are involved, because obviously fashion and furniture mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
Paint companies.
Fair. That'll make sense.
Yeah. But you're thinking more obscure, huh?
Yeah. I'm thinking, like, what if there's, like, a construction guy that's there, and he's like, we're going to have blue hats next year. Don't tell anybody.
It's well, the I can color see that. Like, if they're like, this building material comes in this color, and it's cheaper not to paint it, so make the color of the year this color. Oh, man,
you tied it in. It's real now.
Because I'm thinking about this. The 2006 color of the year was sand dollar. It's the color of sand.
Yeah.
The most generic color you can have.
Yeah.
And, like, from a lot of perspectives, like, even construction, it's like, our primer is one step away from the color sand dollar.
I'll tell you, the first time I saw a sand dollar, I'll never forget.
Yeah?
Yeah, I was at the dentist office.
Uh-huh.
And I had a thing in my mouth.
Uh-huh.
And the doctor's gloves were a sand dollar. And I was like, is that Pantone sand dollar? Is that the color of the year? And he just winked at me. He's like, ding. It made a little ding sound because yeah. I was a little bit high on that gas.
On the laughing gas?
Can you go to the Pantone convention? And he just said, go to sleep, John. Marsala is coming. That's what he said.
What year was that in?
2014.
Wow, he did know. Okay. Yeah. Speaking of laughing, you want to play a little game?
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm gonna read some of the more obscure color of the years, and you're going to have to guess what color it is. Like,
okay.
In layman's terms, what color it is.
Layman's terms, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll try to dumb it down for you.
So the very first color of the year was in the year 2000. Mm-hmm. It was, this is an easy one,
mm-hmm.
cerulean.
Cerulean.
Yeah.
It has a royal flavor to it.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. The only reason I know this color is because it was, I think, the name.
Cerulean City.
Yep, exactly. Yep. Pokemon Silver and Gold, I think.
Pokemon Silver and Gold. Connect the dots, John. Connect the dots. Pokemon Yellow, which is a branch. It was blue.
It is blue.
Yeah, Pokemon Blue.
Good job.
Okay.
2001 was Fuchsia Rose. It's obviously a pink color. Mm. 2002 was True Red. What color was that?
I could taste it. I could taste it.
I can hear the gears turning.
On the tip of my tongue, which is red.
Yep. Nailed it. 2003 was Aqua Sky, so obviously that's aqua. 2004 was Tiger Lily. What color is that?
Orange and black tigers. Lilies. Tigers, lilies. Nature. It was a minty jade green, Nicholas.
No. It was orange.
Okay.
It was like a kind of a muted orange.
Right, like a muted, like a tiger, like a lily, like green. Like a green tiger.
Like a you're colorblind, so like I'm going to accept that answer. Okay. 2005 was blue turquoise. 2006 was sand dollar. 2007 was chili pepper.
Oh.
What color do you think that is?
Let's see. Give it away now. Bell peppers. Let's see. Nature.
Uh-huh. There's like bells, two directions this could go, in my opinion.
Jingle bells, Santa Claus.
Wow, we're getting far away.
Santa Claus, red. It's red? Red?
Yeah, it's red. It's kind of like a more of a magenta color, though, in my opinion, which I thought was weird for chili peppers.
In your opinion.
2008 was Blue Iris. 2009 was Mimosa. What color do you think that is?
Mimosa. Moms.
Yep.
Mm.
You're on the right. You're on the right scent.
Moms, babies, stress, drinking.
Yep.
Yeah, orange. Mimosas.
No. It's like a wine? Gross yellow color.
Hmm.
Look at this. Oh, I can't show you because then you'll know the name.
Yeah, explain it. Show it to me and I'll explain it.
It's like a... It's like...
You're not showing it to me.
Here, I can show it to you.
Oh, you don't have it.
I do. I just don't want to show you.
Oh, you're playing... okay. Well,
It's kind of gross, right?
It looks like Loco Roco.
Yeah, it's the Loco Roco color. It's not a good color, in my opinion. 2010 was turquoise. 2011 was honeysuckle.
Mmm.
What color is that?
Suckle.
What a good word.
Suckle.
Stop saying suckle.
Let me connect the dots here. Let me
yep.
Let me get a little bit of that honey.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go with a orange, yellowish, yellow bees, traveling bees, killer bees, traveling Mexico. Mexicans.
Okay.
White, red and green flags.
Uh-huh.
Was it like a honey orange?
No.
Okay.
It's pink.
Oh.
2012 was the Tangerine Tango. It's like a very vibrant orange. 2013 was Emerald. 2014 was Radiant Orchid.
Yeah. Do you think that remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that. Everything.
What color was it?
Everything was very radiant. I can tell you that. Mm-hmm. It was like an orchard everywhere. Yeah. I looked.
Right?
Very radiant.
So what color
like
are you
flowers,
imagining?
Like, yep. like a floral color.
Okay.
You know, like the color of flowers.
Oh, okay. Floral. Yeah.
Like the color that flowers are.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Which is?
You know, floral.
Like a floral pattern?
No. Like the color of flowers.
Kitchen?
Like, you ever see a flower?
Yeah.
Like that color.
Oh. Which is?
Radiant.
What?
Radiant floral
it's
orchard.
Purple.
Okay.
2015 was Marsala, which we talked about.
Yeah.
Which is like a...
Magenta.
It's like a magenta.
A magenta.
Yeah. 2016 was the first year to have two.
Wow.
Two colors.
Trying to make up for some lost dollars, Pantone.
Right? They never said that. I'll tell you the explanation once... I already said rose quartz, which you can probably guess is pink.
Yeah. They had a big meeting and they're like, oh my God, what are we going to do? And some guy was like, hey guys, how about two?
And everyone
get out,
like,
John.
And then they went with it.
Well,
and they had to hire him back.
Yeah.
The second color was called Serenity. What color do you think that is?
Serenity. Mm.
Rose quartz and Serenity.
Let me just meditate on this one real quick. Was it white?
No.
Okay. Well, I have no idea.
It was blue.
Okay.
The colors were pink and blue for gender equality.
Wow! Look at that.
Yeah, because
let's label our
money.
Kids with with gender colors.
Well,
for equality.
I think it was either an article that was talking about it, or it was Pantone themselves that was like, pink started off as a boy's color.
Oh.
Because it was a muted red.
Yeah.
Which is true. Pink used to be a boy's color.
I remember that.
Girl's color.
That'd be another cool episode. Is why blue and pink are associated.
Yeah,
with
absolutely.
Boys and girls.
Because it's dumb.
It
My
is
favorite
dumb.
Color is purple.
Yeah.
What's yours?
I can't see colors. Thank you.
That's true. But I know yours is like...
The color of our logo backgrounds, pretty much. Like
this color?
Yeah.
Oh, you guys can't see that. That's great audio.
No, they can. This is like something they can actually see. If you're listening to this on iTunes,
yeah,
on the podcast app, look at our logo.
It's the background color.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, that's all I got about colors. You want to recap for me?
Yeah. Let's put this cap right. Screw that back on there.
Yep.
Pantone. Thank you. The cap back on. Pantone said, "Hey, Jimmy, we gotta get more money. What are we gonna do?"
Yeah.
And Jimmy said,
"Hey, boss, I got an idea."
What's that, Jimmy?
Let's make colors more special. We sell more.
Oh, Jimmy, you know what way I like you think. You got a good thinker up there. Hey, Jimmy, what color should we do first? Look it up, Nicholas.
I gotta
stay
remember.
In character. Don't break character.
Cerulean.
Oh, I'm going to be a cerula of the colors is what I'm going to say. You better laugh at me, Jimmy. What'd I tell you
I'm
about not laughing.
Laughing
at my jokes?
I'm laughing, boss.
Hmm.
Don't whip me again.
Mm. Things got weird.
Yeah. We learned a lot about those characters in just a couple seconds. Do you want to do a listener question?
Yes, I do.
Hey, how about before that, we tell all of our people about the fine places where they can find us besides where they're listening to us with their ears right now.
Okay. Fine diners. You can listen to us in them. You can listen to us at fine jewelry stores. If you ask your significant other, hey, do you mind if I put a podcast on? And they say, fine, you can listen to us. If you're paying a fine at a courthouse, you can listen to us.
Yeah.
Any other fine places?
Finer than a frog's hair split four ways.
How about strangerstillshow.com?
That works.
What about @strangerstill?
On Twitter?
And how about facebook.com/strangerstill?
That doesn't go to ours.
Not yet.
facebook.com/group/strangerstill.
/157C. A-E-E-E-E-E-01.
You can't say 157C because that's a Pantone color. We'll get sued.
Oh my goodness. I take that back. Bleep it.
I already did.
Search Stranger Still
on the Facebook space.
And we'll add you to our private group.
Yep. Also, while you're just listening to us, go leave a review on iTunes.
Yeah, do that.
I would love to call you out on our podcast if you do that.
Call you out in front of everyone.
In front of everyone. All your friends are laughing. They're laughing at you!
Yep. Your family will be listening.
Listener question time?
Listener question time.
All right. This one comes from Kevin D. on our Facebook page.
Oh, boy.
He's a good contributor on there. He wanted to know, why does grapefruit interact with drugs so much, but not other citruses?
Ooh.
Which I didn't even know that was a thing until he said it. But apparently, his significant other, I can't remember if it's like a girlfriend or a wife or something, but they were taking a medicine and were told not to eat grapefruit because it could mess with their medicine.
Yep. I've seen that on the label.
It's so weird.
Oranges are cool.
Oranges are cool.
Yeah.
So it's so fascinating. People on those medications, like you said, is on the medication. They've known for a really long time, but it wasn't until 2012 that the FDA finally released like a public announcement saying if you are taking like any drugs on this list or many, many drugs, just don't stay away from grapefruit. It started out in 1989 when these scientists were trying to study the effects of ethanol, aka the fun active ingredient of alcohol.
Yeah,
and
corn.
Those things fun. And corn.
Don't eat too much corn, kids.
They wanted to know what effect ethanol would have on a certain medicine. And what they did was they used grapefruit to try to mask the taste of alcohol so they could have like a control test so people wouldn't know that they were drinking alcohol.
Sure, yeah. Okay,
that's
Ricky.
That's what I'm saying.
Here's the funding.
Let's all just get wasted.
Yep.
So they got some strange results, which is the answer to Kevin's question. They found that the grapefruit increased the amount of medicine that was absorbed by the bloodstream.
Weird.
So weird.
Why? Is there a chemical in it?
Yeah. So having more medicine absorbed sounds good, right?
Yeah.
You have to remember, though, that medicines are like these finely honed crafts, and we expect a certain amount to be absorbed by the bloodstream. So when more is absorbed by the bloodstream, bad things can happen.
By medicines, that means any drug or alcohol, correct?
Only some of them.
Okay. But if you have a grapefruit drink versus an orange drink with the same amount of alcohol, would you get drunker from the grapefruit drink?
It doesn't make you drunker.
But alcohol is a drug, no?
It's certain drugs, though. It's not all drugs. All
right.
Yeah. It depends on how the drug is broken down. So there is an enzyme that as something is entering your bloodstream, the enzyme is supposed to break that drug down. It just so happens that grapefruit has this compound that's going to be really fun to say called furanocoumarins.
Is it Japanese?
Maybe. It could be.
Furoku sounds, I mean, the first part of it.
Furanocoumarins.
All right.
That works. These inhibit these enzymes from working on the drug. So if those enzymes aren't working, there's more passage of that drug into the bloodstream. And it's not found in other citruses. It's just grapefruits.
Dang.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. So if you're on a lot of drugs, make sure that you shouldn't be eating grapefruit.
All right.
That's all I got for you, man. All
right. Pretty good.
You got anything for me?
I heard that mangoes affect marijuana.
Well, we'll have to do an episode on that.
Yeah. I heard that's another whole deal that, let's say you're a grandpa and you're in Florida and you have legally prescribed marijuana.
Recreational marijuana.
Yeah, and you're like
in California
chowing down on that mango. I wonder if that affects things with the same type of enzymes.
Maybe. We'll look into it for next time.
Okay.
Not next time, though.
No. Just like in the future sometime.
But in the future. All right. That's been our podcast. I'm still Nick.
I'm still John.
And this has been
Stranger Still.